कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हरे कृष्ण। सो चैप्टर नंबर 5 एंड वी वर आई थिंक ऑन टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 नाउ। या 16। लेट्स रिसाइट फ्यू वर्सेस बिफोर वी बिगिन जस्ट एज एन इन्वोकेशन। ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम् येषां नाशितमात्मनः तेषाम् आदित्यवज्ज्ञानम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम् तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानस् तद्निष्ठास्तत्परायणः गच्छन्ति पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषः विद्याविनयसम्पन्ने ब्राह्मणे गविहस्तिनि शुनिचैव स्वपाके च पण्डितः समदर्शिनः इहैव तैरजितः सर्गो येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थितः न प्रहर्षियेत् प्रियं प्राप्य नोद्विचेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियम् स्थिरबुद्धिरसमूढो ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे
हरे
राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे।
So till now we have discussed how Krishna encourages Arjuna to work, not leave work, but work with consciousness fixed on him, work in devotion, and that way he can live like a lotus leaf in this world, surrounded by water but not touched by water at all. And as we are living in this world, one might assume the mentality of being the doer, the breadwinner for his family. So Krishna says, not just us, there are three personalities involved in fulfilling our desire or accomplishing anything that we want to. It's not just us, but him as the Paramatma who sanctions our desires. And then through the material nature, he facilitates, he creates the facilities. Imagine if you want to build a new house, but if there is no sand, there is no water, no bricks, how will we do it? So the facilities have to be provided in the material nature by the Lord. And we are seeing when there is depletion of natural resources, everybody is crying. Oh, the petroleum will get over, this will get over, that will get over. So we are completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And we can only desire, but unless he sanctions, we have no, and provides facilities, we have no power to fulfill those desires. So therefore, that prayerful attitude is very important. Okay, we do our work, as Socrates said, you work as if everything depends on you, and you pray as if everything depends on God. So both things have to be done simultaneously. So, but Krishna says now, but there are some who don't understand this, ignorant beings, because ignorance covers their real knowledge. text number 15 he says. They are bewildered. So he says, but those who are enlightened with knowledge, knowledge is compared to light because it helps us see things properly. Imagine you enter a room, it's pitch dark. Even though things are there, but we can't see. So light helps us. So knowledge is compared to light. Ignorance is the greatest enemy of a human being and knowledge is the greatest friend. Because this is the only wealth which nobody can steal, wherever you are. Even if you are traveling all over the world, knowledge can still save us. Knowledge is respected everywhere.
Prabhuji, I have a question here.
Ji.
You just mentioned that there are three doers, us, Krishna and the material world. But sometimes out of greed, we work hard for certain things and we even accomplish them in the sense that it's only in retrospect we realize that it was almost sinful to that extent.
Right.
So, why does the Lord, grant us that wish at that time?
See, this is a free will given to us. Sometimes, see, He has already given instructions in the form of scriptures. He keeps sending sadhus into our life, creating that awareness. Like your children. Beyond a point, you can't push things. You can just make them aware.
Yes.
Wherever there is love, there is no force. So Krishna has created that awareness. He's spoken the whole Gita. And guess what He tells Arjuna in the end? Now do as you like. So Gita, God never imposes. He gives you options. And with free will, we have to make the right choices. And those choices, how to make the right choices, is spoken in the scriptures. But if we choose to make a wrong choice, He has already mentioned there is going to be punishment also. So the desire is ours, and the reaction also we only have to face. He is like neutral. Okay, you want this, I'll give you this. If you want to remember me, I'll give you facilities. If you want to forget me, I'll give you facilities. So because such people will not learn unless they experience, unless they touch fire, unless they burn themselves. See, there are four categories of people. First class people, they learn simply by hearing. Second class people, they have to see somebody else getting punished, then they learn. Third class people, they themselves need to go through experience to learn. And fourth class people, they hear, they see, they themselves go through experience, but they never learn. So, such people, mostly in Kali Yuga, people are third class or fourth class. And all classes of people have been existing in every Yuga, just that the proportion varies. But in Kali Yuga, we have mostly third class or fourth class. So, such people, agar hearing se ye log seekh jate, to sudhar jate na abhi tak. I mean, everything is there. All the knowledge, all the awareness, all the rules have been already clarified. So then Krishna allows them. Okay, you do and learn your lesson. Like suppose a mother or a father, he has a daughter who is trying to put her hand in fan, which is running, table fan. Or touch fire. The father says, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. The daughter is not listening. She has her own mind. She wants to put her hand in fire. So then what does the father do? He's very kind, but he understands that even if I stop her now, she would anyways do it when I'm not around. So he takes her hand, takes it closer to fire. She feels the heat, but then he pulls it away also, her finger. So she learns. So sometimes Krishna allows us to do, okay, this is the way you want to learn, go and experience. But as Paramatma, He's always there to guide us. And He keeps making arrangements, sending people into our life. Scriptures, He keeps coming down Himself. He guides from within. So, like that. Because the free will is given to all of us, which is never taken away. And when we tend to misuse that free will, that's when a reaction will also come. Like, so many people know stealing is bad, but have they stopped stealing? So many people know that they will be punished. They see others getting punished. Have they stopped stealing, murdering, terrorizing people? So many people know scamming people is bad, but still people are getting scammed. Phone pay, their whole entire bank account is just vanishes, all the money. So it's that free will, and it has a positive side and negative side as well. Positive side in the sense, okay, I might have done 1,000 mistakes in the past. Now if I try to reform myself, I can still be elevated. And negative side, I can continue to misuse my free will and suffer then. For momentary pleasure, we invite long-term pain into our life. So human beings means they are supposed to think before they respond. So misuse of free will, that's why we are here. That's why we are here in this material world also. So that's why we are hearing from the scriptures, that we know how to properly utilize it. It's not that we don't know what is right and what is wrong. It's just that we tend to forget. We just get caught up in the momentary pleasure, flickering pleasure. And then we forget that we have to pay for it later on. And therefore, if we keep hearing from scriptures regularly, then we will not forget. And even if an opportunity comes to engage in something which is not worth engaging in, because we have been remembering it, hearing it again and again, we'll be able to save ourselves from getting into it, falling into the trap. So regular hearing is important, because see kya hota hai, yaad hai, lekin jaise jaise memory kam hota jata hai, or if we start forgetting things gradually, then the other side takes over. Hence, regular hearing is recommended to remind ourselves again and again and again and again. So, like we know, say if you eat a lot of fried food, you might fall sick, you might put on weight. So when you are conscious of this, then you actually don't eat it. But jaise dheere dheere bhool jate hain, you become complacent, then you start eating it. Even though we know it's bad, don't we still eat? Don't we still do it? You have a doctor wife and still you might be eating something which she might say this is not healthy for you.
Yeah.
Because we have this very deep-rooted tendency to enjoy, and in that enjoyment, we don't care about future consequences. And when they come, then we condemn ourselves, feel guilty, why did I do that? So it's just that momentary pleasure. So we have to use our intelligence. Mind makes us enjoy momentary pleasure. Intelligence will always help us think or see the broader, bigger picture. So keep your intelligence strong. And how does the intelligence become strong? Regular scriptural study or hearing. Usse intellect becomes very sharp, and then you can take the right decisions in life. Okay. So the knowledge is therefore compared to light, and when such a person is enlightened with knowledge, ignorance may people get bewildered, they don't know, but when a person is enlightened with knowledge, he gradually gets cleansed of all sinful reactions and he proceeds on the path of liberation. Iske liye knowledge bahut zaruri hai. How does one get cleansed of all sinful reactions? It's like doctor tells you do's and don'ts. Right? How do we get cured of sickness? The doctor will say, do this and don't do this. So eat this medicine and avoid these things. So similarly, when we acquire knowledge from scriptures, the scriptures will tell us, do this and avoid this. So then we automatically get cleansed. And not just this much, not just when we actually apply, but simply by hearing from scriptures, that transcendental sound vibration purifies us. And like in the Gita Mahatmya, it is mentioned, lifetimes of sins are destroyed simply by reciting the Gita verses. And there have been many examples like that. It's the recitation. Even if you don't understand the language, if you just recite the Gita verses, if you read it, you will get purified. Your sins will be destroyed. Reactions will be destroyed. It's like when you take a tablet, you put it in your mouth. Do you ever wonder or try to find out how does it work? Like, I'm just giving an example so that we have faith in what I just said. Simply by reciting the Gita or just coming in touch, even if we don't understand, we are purifying ourselves of the sins. and the vices in the heart, lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, illusion. Suppose I have headache today. I eat combiflame, for example. And tomorrow I have maybe pain in my back. I take combiflame. Now, do we ever wonder, okay, today I have headache, I put combiflame in my mouth, tomorrow also. Okay, how does the tablet know that aaj kaun sa dard theek karna hai? Kahan pe pain hai? Have you ever thought about it?
Well, yeah, I have actually asked also around. But so the concept is that it's a painkiller. So, you know, even if you have whether it's a backache or a headache, both get cured, incidentally.
Exactly. So, but how does the tablet know ki aaj idhar theek karna hai? Tablet doesn't, we just have to put it. We don't have to understand the mechanism.
Yeah.
So, usi tarah se Gita is like that. Chanting God's name is like that. You don't have to understand language. Just come in touch with these things. Stay in touch with these things and they will work. They will have the desired effect. So such a person is cleansed of all sinful reactions. Coming to a spiritual platform, he develops equal vision towards everyone. See, people are trying to establish equality in this world. But is that ever possible? Is that ever possible? Because everybody is an individual. Everybody has an individual karma. So that's not possible. People are different. So equality is only possible on a spiritual platform where we start seeing each other as a spirit soul, spiritual beings, made up of same element, spirit. On a material platform, there is always going to be inequality. The types of bodies we have, the type of intelligence, label, faith, determination we have. But on the spiritual platform, everybody is a soul. And when a person is enlightened with knowledge, he develops such vision where he starts seeing everyone equal, because he is not seeing the external body. He is seeing the spark within that body, the part and parcel of what the soul, the same nature. So he sees an elephant, a gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog and a dog eater on the same platform. And that's why unless we raise ourselves to a spiritual platform, we cannot really establish equality in this world. Material platform is a world of duality. That reality cannot be changed. Spiritual platform pe equality is possible. Where we start seeing our daughter, our son, our wife also, and our friends, neighbor also, all parts and parcels of God. Same family, one father. So unless we elevate ourselves in God consciousness, how is that possible? Iske liye kaha gaya hai, the greatest welfare work in the world is to raise people's consciousness to God consciousness. Because automatically all the terrorism, exploitation, selfishness will stop. Because they'll develop their divine nature. So such a person, same theme here. And such a person proceeds on the path of liberation. And his qualities are mentioned now. That he sees everything equally. Honor, dishonor, praise, criticism, pleasure, pain, profit, loss. And he does not get attached to anything of this world for experiencing that happiness. See, yahan pe difference kya hai? In ignorance, people think, the biggest ignorance is to think I am this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. I am not this body, first of all. I am a spiritual being residing within the body. I have this body. I am living in this body. This is my body. And so I am spiritual. Body is matter. And I want to be happy. And I keep trying to find that happiness in matter. It's an incompatible situation. So, but a person who is enlightened in knowledge, he's always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. He's connected to his spiritual self, so he's always happy. And therefore, the ever-changing circumstances of this world cannot affect him. Because his source of happiness is something else, and that supply is continuous. So, anyone there...
Question.
Ji.
So it says that here somebody who is happy is somebody who is in a trance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not very attached to the material world.
Mm.
Yet the Gita talks about not giving up anything material, living your life in the way you are, yet just in the consciousness of God, right?
Yes.
So isn't that sort of contradiction? Because here they're saying, don't, you know, you're not attached to all the material stuff, yet you are living in a material world. So how does that work? How can you be not attached and yet be living in it?
No, it's written attracted.
Okay, attracted. Okay.
He's not attracted. He may do the needful, but is not attracted by this, because see, why do we want to enjoy things of this world? Because we want to be happy.
Okay.
Say, I get oil from Middle East countries. Say I get from Iran, as India. I am India.
Okay.
And tomorrow, Iran stops their supply. I'll be miserable. But if my supply is coming from Saudi Arabia, then I will not be affected as much. So when I'm connected to my spiritual self, I still do my needful, I do my duties, but I don't get affected by the good and bad here, because I am not dependent for my happiness on this. My supply is coming from somewhere else. That's it. That's how we need to look. That's why we need to connect. And this supply is permanent. Matter is temporary, ever changing. Change is constant in this world. Such a person becomes free from dualities, and he does not take part in the sources of misery, because he understands matter is temporary. An intelligent person, yehi samsparsha jab hoga, dukha yonaya evate, adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Anything which is on a material platform will have a beginning, it will also have an end. So therefore, misery. So a person does the needful, but understanding the whole picture, and therefore he is not affected by this picture, actually vanishes. He is already connected to a permanent source of happiness. And therefore it's easier for him to deal with the changes of this world. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kumti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man does not delight in them. Yes. You are late. What was the punishment given to latecomers in your school?
No, I was in the hospital stuck.
Yeah. We have all given excuses when we were late.
No, I'm not giving excuses. I've come straight from the hospital.
No, I'm joking. So there was an important question for you, Hemalji was asking. He says that if I have headache today, I eat say combi flame and headache gets cured. Tomorrow if I have backache and I eat combi flame only, how does the tablet come to know that today I have to cure my backache and yesterday was my headache and tomorrow? We thought we'll ask the doctor.
Oh.
Anyways, you think about it.
Definitely.
Tell us. Okay, therefore, Krishna is saying, before giving up this material present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. So what is being spoken here is anything related to matter, not the spiritual. Because the more we are involved with matter, the more we get entangled in the world of matter. The more we are away from the path of liberation. And here, the whole purpose of human life is to ultimately put an end to our obligations in this material world, not to increase them, to put an end to the transmigration of the soul. So, our senses are there, and as long as we have senses and this body, there will be urges. Urge to eat, urge to sleep, urge to enjoy, urge to drink. So it's not saying that stop your, don't respond to your urges. Enjoyment is not forbidden, by the way. It's not saying stop everything altogether. It's just check the force of desire and anger. Check karna hai ke, is it bona fide? Thoda sa regulate karna us cheez ko, aur kuch nahi. You have to eat, okay, eat things which are not forbidden. You have to earn in a way that's not immoral. Live a righteous life. And simultaneously also try to fix your consciousness on the live in a palatial house, but also give God a place in your life. दैट्स इट, कुछ छोड़ना नहीं है, सिर्फ लिविंग दिस वे. हाँ, वन हुज हैप्पीनेस इज विद इन, हु इज एक्टिव एंड रिजॉयस इज विद इन एंड हुज एम इज इनवर्ड इज एक्चुअली द परफेक्ट मिस्टिक. He is liberated and in the supreme, and ultimately he attains the supreme. So that somebody who is connected to his spiritual self, enlightened with knowledge. So uska happiness already kahin se aa raha hai. So he's not affected by the material circumstances. That's why you will see many people in a similar situation will have a different response. Some people get angry, some people get depressed. Some people are equipoised, some people are grateful, some people are happy. COVID mein dekh lijiye aap, situation same hai, but different people have responded differently. Kuch bahut dukhi ho gaye, kuch depressed ho gaye. Some are grateful, some are happy. Jinka business chal pada hai. So all kinds of people you find, different people responding to a similar situation in a different way. Depends on कितना लेवल का सबका इंटेलिजेंस बुद्धि है फ्रॉम पास्ट कर्मा. That's why we respond differently. So is the situation the cause of our anxiety? आप खुद ही पूछिए अपने आप से. और is it our own limitation, mindset or lack of awareness? अगर situation is the cause, then everybody should be anxious. So that means we can actually learn to deal with the situation and from a platform where we are not affected. And that is the special prerogative of the humans. As they say, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. What happens to us is our karma. How we respond to it is a choice. And COVID code, people have made different choices and responded differently. Grateful, angry, depressed, happy, sad, anxious, sab dikh raha. Okay. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within. Thoda summarize kar rahe hai Krishna. Who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings and are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. So he has shown the path of liberation now. How once we get enlightened in knowledge, then we proceed on the path of liberation, and gradually these are the symptoms. And to attain liberation, now Krishna introduces two paths in the last three verses. In the last three verses, those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. So anybody who gets enlightened in knowledge will automatically develop these symptoms. But simply hearing is not enough. Application part is something which will lead us to these stages. Development of these qualities where we become unaffected by dualities, free from sins. So Krishna shows two paths to apply this knowledge or to attain liberation. 27-28 mein he shows the path of Dhyana Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga it is called. And in the last verse, he talks about Bhakti Yoga. So there are two paths he talks about. So he introduces these two paths in this chapter. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyam chakshus chayvantare bruvoho pranapanav samau kritva nashabhyantar charinav yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayana vigadeccha भय क्रोधो यह सदा मुक्त एव सः. सो दिस इज द ध्यान योगा ब्रीफली एंड ही विल एक्सप्लेन इट इन ग्रेट डिटेल इन द सिक्स चैप्टर विच इज एंटाइटल्ड एज ध्यान योगा इटसेल्फ. सो पूरा इंट्रिकेसीज उसका डिटेल्स मिलेगा सिक्स चैप्टर में. ही इज जस्ट इंट्रोड्यूसिंग हियर बिकॉज ही हैज स्पोकन अबाउट लिबरेशन नॉलेज एंड हाउ टू अप्लाई दैट नॉलेज टू कम टू दैट स्टेज ऑफ लिबरेशन डेवलप दोज सिम्टम्स ऑन द वे. Two paths, Dhyana Yoga, shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils and thus controlling the mind, senses and intelligence. The transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. ये डिफिकल्ट है कि इजी लग रहा है आपको ये वाला प्रोसेस? अभी अगर इजी लग रहा है तो 6th चैप्टर में थोड़ा और सुन लीजिएगा, वेयर कृष्णा एक्सप्लेन्स द डिटेल्स टू बिकम परफेक्ट, एंड देन द लास्ट वर्स ही इंट्रोड्यूसेस भक्ति योगा. भोक्तारम, लेट्स चैंट दिस वर्स टुगेदर. भोक्तारम यज्ञ तपसाम,
भोक्तारम यज्ञ तपसाम,
सर्वलोक महेश्वरम,
सर्वलोक महेश्वरम,
सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां,
सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां,
ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So basically, when one understands Krishna's glories, he always remembers him, because our minds are attracted by greatness and divine qualities. So a person who fixes his mind on the Lord. So bhakti yoga is one path, and then dhyana yoga is one path. So these are being introduced here. So 6th chapter will talk about dhyana yoga in detail, and bhakti yoga, which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has used or spoken 6 chapters to elaborate on this. And they are the middle 6 chapters, 7 through 12. And they are considered the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Very nourishing. Just like in a sandwich. Gita is like a sandwich. Which is the most important part? The middle portion.
The filling, yes.
Because of the filling, the sandwich is known as vegetable sandwich or whatever, cheese sandwich. We never say bread sandwich. It's not known for the bread. So similarly, the middle 6 chapters is what Gita is known for. That's the ultimate message. And just like a diamond is hidden between 2 layers, so these 6 chapters are being protected by the first and the last 6 chapters. So first 6 chapters are dealing with karma yoga, last 6 chapters jnana, middle 6 chapters bhakti yoga. So Krishna gives full 6 chapters to this. And even otherwise, all other chapters where he speaks few verses about other types of yoga, he ends with emphasis on bhakti yoga only. So this is the 5th chapter. I'll just briefly summarize. It begins with Arjuna asking a question that on one side you say cultivate knowledge, control senses. On the other side you say work. So which is superior, renunciation of work or work in devotion? Krishna says both are good for liberation, renunciation of work so that you avoid reaction, but better than that is work in devotion, because you cannot sit idle for long. Soul by nature is active. We are born with a particular nature, we will be forced to act. So rather act in devotion, that way you can live like a lotus leaf in this world. And as we live in this world, we might develop the mentality that we are the doers. So then Krishna says, no, it's just not just you. You are there, but I am also responsible as the Paramatma, the sanctioner of your desire. And then my material nature also must facilitate, give you facilities to fulfill your desire. Imagine there is no land, where will be construct? There is no sand, no water, nothing. Imagine there is no rains. What will happen? How dependent are we on the Lord? We can only desire. So the Lord says there are 3, and one must acknowledge this fact. Ignorant people do not know this, but the wise who are enlightened with knowledge, they are not bewildered. They know, and they develop an equal vision by which they can see everyone equally, and they are able to remain equipoised even in the midst of dualities. And they work in this world not attracted by the external objects of sense gratification, because their happiness is within. So they are not affected by the apparent changes in this world, since their source of pleasure is somewhere else, which is permanent. They are connected to their spiritual self, they are connected to God. And thus they proceed on the path of liberation. And to achieve that liberation, there are 2 paths, Dhyana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Basically, the knowledge aspect is being spoken about. So application of knowledge to attain liberation or freedom from duality and other things, which Krishna has spoken about. is the Dhyana Yoga and the Bhakti Yoga process. So he introduces these two paths in the end, and then he'll now elaborate upon these two. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.